It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Morena, Rachel. I am very good, thank you. Another busy week. It just seems to get busier and busier.
It does. We are really at that time of the year now. We've got a few important things to talk about. Let's start with this Pohutukawa tree, which is in Mount Eden and has been, lost its tree protection due to a clerical error, pretty much. What's happening at the moment to re-protect this tree? Because it's over a century old, and there's been a lot of, I think, consensus across the board that it does need to be protected. So what's happening right now?
Absolutely, it needs to be protected, and the fact that it lost its protection at the time that the council shifted over to the Auckland Unitary Plan was simply an administrative error. And I'm not prepared to see an administrative error result in the destruction of a tree that has already been acknowledged as being a heritage and notable tree. So what's happened is, first of all, the Tree Council has lodged an application with the Environment Court and an interim protection order has been put forward, and the parties will be heard by the Environment Court this week. Auckland Council is a party, and mm-hmm. we will be supporting the interim enforcement order to protect it. At the same time, council officers have entered into discussions with the property owner, and he hasn't lodged any application for a resource consent or a building consent to redevelop the property, though it's believed that his intention is to redevelop the property. So we're currently, when I heard about this, my immediate request to council officers was you need to ensure that that mistake is corrected. And they've come up with a range of different ways in which we might be able to protect the tree. And we're now exploring, while there is protection from the interim order, how we can best provide protection for the tree. And there are a number of different things that we can do. And that will depend, on one hand, whether the property owner is supportive of the protection or not supportive of the protection. But one way or the other, we're committed to doing everything we can to protect that tree.
Well, let's talk a wee bit about Queen Street, because we touched on this last week and it's developed since we spoke to you. So, of course, it's going to be, I think a lot of people are very pleased to see that there's going to be this pedestrianisation of Queen Street, making it a bit more friendly for people using the footpaths. But there has been some pushback from business owners down there and also from car users as well, which has kind of resulted in this potential High Court action. What is, I guess, the problem here, and what's happening right now with that situation?
Well, firstly, what's happening right now is that there are discussions. There were last Friday, yesterday and today with the group that was seeking to take legal action, which ironically would have the effect of stopping us removing the temporary yellow sticks and white stones that are down there and replacing it with a longer term and much more aesthetic and attractive way of expanding mm-hmm. the pedestrian area and making Queen Street a pleasant place to be in rather than drive through. Now, I don't want to say a lot about it because other than, what I don't want to see really is legal action, because that then becomes a cost to the ratepayer as well as those bringing the legal action. Nobody's ever sure what is the end result of the legal action. But what we are committed to do, and our Auckland City Centre Master Plan is committed to, a progressive pedestrianisation of it. The phase that we're going through at the moment will be a trial period. So what we're putting in is not permanent pedestrianisation, which is a reasonably expensive process, but would make it look a little bit like Federal Street or O'Connell Street, etc.
Do you think that part of the problem is perhaps that people aren't quite aware of what's actually going on, the process that's happening here? Do you think maybe we need more consultation or at least more public meetings about what's actually happening, just so that people feel like they're on the same page rather than being on the back foot here?
Well, there have have been three co-design meetings to which a lot of people have turned up. It's fair to say that there is some agreement, but some disagreement as to the future of the of how the street should look, and that's normally part of what happens in a process like this. I do recall that when Fort Street was pedestrianised, there was strong antagonism from the retailers who thought it would damage their business, but actually the pedestrian count raised considerably, and so did the retail trade. I think it's also important to reflect that, because I've seen some commentary to say, look, there are empty shops on Queen Street and it's all because of traffic management. I disagree with that, absolutely. The problem that we have on Queen Street is that with COVID-19, there are no cruise mm-hmm. ships, there are no international tourists, there are no international students coming in, and a considerable proportion of office staff have continued to work from home.
So that perhaps points to a bigger conversation that we have touched on before in the past, but the central city businesses, particularly in that really central business district area, they have been struggling, and it is COVID related, but it is also partly to do with the fact that it is quite difficult to get into town at the moment. We have talked about before, how is the council supporting these businesses and stuff, but do you think we need to have a really radical new approach to how we encourage people into that part of the town? I assume the pedestrianisation is part of that, but more broadly, how can we make it somewhere that people want to visit so that it is a destination and it's not just this sort of black hole of traffic cones and empty shops?
Yeah, well, the truth is we're spending billions of dollars on just that question. I mean, that's partly what the City Rail Link is about, and you've seen the refurbishment, and it's a beautiful job they've done of the old central post office. You've seen Komititanga, the square outside the old post office that's with its Māori design and its planting and its street furniture. You're seeing pretty soon the completion of Key Street, and that will look fantastic as well. And you saw that we moved some 40-year-old Pahutukawa's we'd moved them off-site to do the development work and then replanted them, and the new Harbour Park to Wānanga next to the ferry building will be reopened soon. And, we're working very closely with people like the owners of Britomart, Cooper & Company. We're working with Precinct Properties and Commercial Bay. They've got their own ideas on activation and how you can make this a more attractive place to visit. Mm-hmm. So those things are happening. And with Queen Street, the debate... And, it's quite complex because even though it's taken their legal action, say, actually they would like to see pedestrianisation and they'd like the buses off, the problem is there is a real challenge in taking buses off Queen Street. We have electrified about 50% of them now with the CityLink buses, which we did last Friday, so there's 12 electric buses operating there, so less noisy, less polluting. But while you're doing work on Albert Street, you can't really take buses off Queen Street, and you still need some form of public transport to be able, particularly for those that find it, that maybe elderly, find it hard to get around, to be able to travel up and down rather than, having to walk up and down from Albert Street or whatever. So there are a range of things being worked through. I mean, what I want to stress at the moment is that the discussions are quite positive and constructive. With those that were objecting. Some of those have changed their mind and have notified me of that. And look, we hope that we can find a solution that everybody can buy into. But getting consensus on an issue that is transformational is quite hard. But we're doing our best. What motivates me right away is just to make sure that we can progressively get rid of the temporary measures, which I don't like at all, and put in more attractive, more aesthetic measures that make Queen Street a great place to be.
I'm sure we'll be coming back to this one because I think it's going to be probably a bit of an ongoing conversation for the city. But let's talk briefly about the Pest Free Auckland campaign, which is well and truly underway at the moment. I guess this sits under the bigger umbrella of our national Pest Free 2050 sort of process. But what's actually happening in this immediate push that the Auckland Council is doing right now?
Well, you'll recall back in 2018, I put through a long-term plan, a 10-year budget, which included a natural environment targeted rate. And the $311 million there over 10 years was to help manage regional biodiversity threats like the pest plants, and you know, you can think of the woolly nightshades and the privets and the ginger plants and the old man beard, the pest animals, the opossums, the rats. These are the things that stop that are destroying our bird life and stop the regeneration of the native bird song, etc. And pathogens like the Kauri dieback, which is a huge issue in itself. And so far we've undertaken animal pest control on it's more than 88,000 hectares. We're also involving community groups, and we're helping fund community groups. So that where I've got my batch, we've put out opossum traps because, you know, we've got great bird life down there.
So is the idea to encourage people to be doing this for themselves in their own properties, or is it more from the council outwards kind of thing that's going on?
It's a mixture of two. I think they're really important, just like with the million and a half planting program for native shrubs. We'll do that in part professionally, but we want to involve people in the future of their own city, and there's a huge enthusiasm for people to get that native bird life back, as we've done with our Hauraki Gulf Islands, and to get people, you know, they can be part of the solution, and there is an enthusiasm in the community to be part of the solution. So involving the public as much as possible is really important as well, and it helps educate others about, you know, what you need to do to help restore some of the damage that's been done to our natural environment.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. It's always great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday. Have a lovely week until then.
Okay, thanks, Rachel. Look forward to it. Cheers.
Cool. Ka kite, bye.
Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.